Log Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, February 12th, 2024, and dear Lord help us, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. As I put out there, it's open mic night. Got a few key issues we're going to talk about. It's we're not going to cover everything I have on my list, but we're going to put some key issues out there, and we really need to get people engaged. But before we do that, let's go ahead and remind everybody what the American Creed is. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. A democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it's my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Defend against all enemies. Excuse me. Please think about what that really means, the enemies from within. Remember what Lincoln said, the enemies from within. Remember what Washington said, associations, factions, political parties will divide you and destroy you. And then, of course, Jefferson said, if you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and will never be. And while this is not my original words, I didn't write this, but it's definitely words I live by. I love my country. It's my government I am afraid of. If you're not afraid of this government, you are just not paying attention. They have gone totally nuts, though. But let's see, before we get knee-deep into a few things, and we do have some very big topics to talk about tonight, I figured I'd kind of mention Valentine's Day is only a couple of days away, St. Valentine, and it's kind of, when you think about what's happening to our country, think about St. Valentine, what he believed, and he was willing to go to jail, and he died for it. A person of faith. He believed in God. He wasn't going to back out from that. And so the patron of love. How many true St. Valentines do you know out there today? Those who are willing to put it all on the line and take a stand. Give me liberty or give me death. Live free or die. Because that's kind of where we're at as I see it. We are at a point where they are totally, totally destroying our country. And if we don't develop some, get back, not really develop, but get back to those core beliefs and restore the culture that's being destroyed by the likes of Obama and company. Obama's not the one who started all this, but he definitely was the one who put the frosting on the cake for this stuff. Transform the country, and how many people they needed to come in to take over the culture, et cetera, et cetera. So we need to really get back to what we're supposed to be. Those of us who truly believe it need to make sure others know that that's what we believe and that we aren't going to accept this other evil culture that's coming in there. One other thing I'll mention real quick on a lighter side. Now, I'm sure some of you were out there watching that crazy Super Bowl game. I didn't watch it. I haven't watched it for many, many years. The games they play with the national anthem and the black anthem and all this kneeling, it's all so evil, too. And I personally just can't support any of that garbage. I mean, I used to give away football, NFL stuff all over the place, basketball, whatever. I don't get involved in any of it. I refuse to support it. I just can't. It's gotten too, if they want to go and have a game and whatever else and do what they're supposed to do and the whole purpose of the national anthem and everything else, then that's fine. But when they go and twist it into some perverted whatever ordeal, racism and everything else they try to claim, I just can't be part of it. But I did watch the Puppy Bowl. And if you've never watched the Puppy Bowl, you ought to go out there. You can watch the rerun of it out there now. And they actually played the national anthem. That was all. They didn't play any black anthem or whatever else. Dogs are all different colors, shapes, and sizes. So, you know, it's not really what you would call a racist environment. And the other is when they played the national anthem. Now, I'm sure they had to work on making this happen, and I'm sure it didn't happen all at once. But they were showing the dogs. It was Team Ruff and Team Fluff. They would show pictures of the dogs all looking up and into the sky, looking up high, looking up where the flag, where they were showing the flag as they played the national anthem. So we actually have more patriotic dogs than we do football players. I thought that was kind of interesting. But you really ought to, if you've never watched it, watch it. And it helps get the dogs adopted and those kind of things. It's quite hilarious and funny to watch, much better than the Super Bowl. And it's not a racist thing. Because, like I said, the dogs are all different colors, shapes, and sizes, and you don't have all the other political nonsense going on out there, at least not yet. Let's hope they keep it that way. Okay, and in just a couple of minutes here, we're going to hopefully get to a deeper dive on House Bill 721. This is a garbage bill out there, once again, by the Republicans, to have this legislation about harassment of poll workers and all this kind of stuff. It's all garbage. The Florida that won't pass a law giving us the right to validate and to audit our elections with a manual count is playing all sorts of other games. And I'm telling you, people, I've been doing it, but I need some help out there. You need to contact every media, especially when it comes to the conservative ones. Contact Steve Bannon, the War Room Posse, Cowboy Logic, Wayne Allen Root, Mike Lindell's Frank Speech, the true conservative groups out there that actually believe in the Constitution, and I really call them constitutionalists more so than conservative. But we need to get this message out there, because people think that Florida is this freedom state. And I know why they believe it, because of what happened during the COVID thing, and also because of a totally crooked and screwed up media that we have, that they're misled. But they need to understand how messed up Florida really is. And then the other on that same note is to call. You got to call. Everybody needs to call Governor DeSantis's office. Just call it, and I'll give you the number out there in a few minutes and all that stuff too, because enough is enough. What they're doing is wrong. It's evil. It's so anti and more. I mean, this isn't supposed to be New York. This isn't supposed to be this blue state. We're supposed to be the freedom state. That's what we're supposed to be, but we're not. We're just not. So everybody needs to contact Florida. And again, we're going to go into a little bit more detail on that in a few minutes. Want to just briefly mention the craziness of this Houston shooting out there. I don't know whether the person was actually an illegal from El Salvador. I haven't figured that part out yet. But they were definitely some kind of transgendering, I don't know how that all plays into what they did, whether they went out of their mind because of the drugs. I don't know. But it's all pretty insane. And I am curious to know whether that was an illegal that did it, but the person, a man, woman, transgender woman, whatever, from El Salvador did the shooting in Houston, from what I heard. And this is, you know, with all the stuff that's gone on that border, everybody better remember the next 9/11. It's not that far away. Something's going to happen. Don't know when, but the insanity is just getting so, so crazy out there, and the evilness of it all. And as we talk about all of this, really need people to, I don't know if Nathan's out there listening tonight, but if he is, as Nathan has said many times, and I have agreed with him many, many times, the Republicans are not the you got to understand, the lesser of two evil isn't good. And you get these idiotic Republicans out there, too. The Republican Party has been so taken over. Call it the Uniparty, call it whatever. But the Republican Party has been taken over by so many evil rhinos, and people keep thinking, well, they're the lesser of two evil. We got to stop voting for evil. Do we really have to vote for evil? With me, I'm not going to vote for them. And we got a situation here with the U.S. Senate Rick Scott, I have never voted for Rick Scott, never planned to. I've seen what he's done in the past and everything else. I won't. There's another individual, Keith Gross, who's running against him. And in a meet and greet, I specifically asked him, did he believe, what was his opinion on the Convention of States? Did he oppose it? Whatever. And it was very much the opinion of those at that meet and greet that he was against a Convention of States. But now it seems like to some other group, he's telling them that he is in favor of Convention of States. And this was the person running against Rick Scott. So right now I have nobody to vote for the U.S. Senate, from what I can see. I've got to see if there's anybody else out there running. But I'm not going to vote for anybody who would support that Convention of States either, because that's somebody who wants to destroy the Constitution. If they're too ignorant to realize how that happens, then they shouldn't be in office anyway. And I heard something about another Senate vote tonight. I'm not even sure if that's on this border security thing. I'm not 100% sure what's going on. But I did read something on the Gateway Pundit where the bill they passed earlier today in reference to the Ukraine funding or something, this is Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, he's so evil. These stupid Republicans in the Senate don't dethrone that guy. It tells you what the Republican Party is. This bill, apparently, as I'm hearing it, and this was what I saw some of this on the Gateway Pundit site, the bill would be, it's written in such a way that it would prevent Trump from defunding Ukraine. They're setting up Trump for total failure. They are putting crap out there all over the place to block him from doing anything. These are treasonous traitors, and they have to be called as such. And, I mean, I know there's people out there, well, you can't say it. Well, yeah. You can. At what point are we going to be honest about what's going on with this government, these people that we supposedly elect, which, of course, we know we don't because of the corruption, and then the things they do that are totally in the enemy of the state, the enemies from within. If Mitch McConnell, if people don't think Mitch McConnell is an enemy to this country, then you're not paying attention, because he is. He's evil. And then every one of those ridiculous Republicans who supported him to be the minority leader. Are you all nuts? I guess so. And there's Senate hearings going on tonight, too. Some of Josh Hawley, I was curious as to what he was going to say. I listen to these people at some of the when I see some of these hearings where they're challenging either the border security or the COVID stuff or whatever else, and they all sound rough and tough on these hearings when they got the cameras on. And it's all a performance. Then you realize how they vote for something? What? Well, I thought you were pro-Constitution. I thought you were pro-America. I thought you were supposed to be MAGA. Make America great again. America first. How could you vote for this crap? How could you do this? And people have to really get involved and make phone calls. So we got to be as big of a nuisance to these people. And I guess I've been on some other calls and people – they're still saying you have to be nice, whatever. They don't like the fact that I'm saying this kind of stuff. But I'm tired of saying please and thank you to these morons who do nothing. They work for us. And yet I'm supposed to say please and thank you? You're honorable? I don't call any of them honorable because I don't know any of them that are. Maybe one or two out there. But they're not our gods. They work for us. And we've allowed them to take on this arrogance of being these elitist gods who dictate to us because they know best. They don't know best. They're evil. Mitch McConnell is evil. Everything about Mitch McConnell is evil. And for the life of me, I'll never understand. Well, when it came to Rand Paul, that's when he just got to the Senate. He was endorsing Mitch McConnell because Mitch McConnell probably promised him committees or whatever. Who knows? Who knows what kind of deal was going on there? And then, of course, you had Trump endorse Mitch McConnell, too. Otherwise, Mitch McConnell wouldn't be in the Senate today had it not been for Trump, the same guy he's stabbing in the back and trying to destroy. Now, back then, give Trump a little bit of leeway. McConnell was out there working to get the other SCOTUS judges out there, appointed, and that kind of stuff. So, okay, playing the game with the Supreme Court. And McConnell had to be on his best behavior then, or he wouldn't get the endorsement. So there was a game going on there, too. But the fact of the matter is, if Trump had not endorsed McConnell, he wouldn't be in there today. And he is an enemy from within. I have so many reasons to say that. And if anybody convinced me why I think Mitch McConnell is anything more than scum, treasonous scum, tell me why. And like I said, there's talk about a vote tonight, Senate vote. That one I'm still trying to get all the pieces. If it's back to this border security thing, which had no border security, imagine you're passing a bill that says, yeah, you're allowed to break the law. This is insane. And these are Republicans who are doing it there, too. Okay, and then two other real quick things here. Our good old friend Fannie Willis, whatever her name is, Fulton County DA, it looks like there's a judge saying she may be disqualified from the Trump case. Yeah, you think so? Okay. That would be nice. It might be something ethical to do there, so let's see what happens there. And then Mike Lindell is down in Mar-a-Lago getting some type of Patriot Award. He got one over the weekend. I don't know all the details, but he's down there now. And thank God for the Mike Lindells out there. We do have enough patriots out there to save this country. We just all have to get on the same page, and we have to stop saying please and thank you to the honorables. We have to tell them what they're supposed to do, and then we can't reelect them. And we cannot reelect the lesser of two evils. We got to find people out there that have some decency, that have some ethics, that actually believe in this culture and believe in this country and want to save it and save the world. Because what's happening here isn't just happening in here, just like all the destruction of the ranches, taking away the beef and destroying the farms and the solar panels and all this other garbage. It's all going on, the destruction of the world. It's not just the destruction of America. It's the destruction of the world. And if we don't take action, we don't get engaged, it ain't going to be a pretty future here. And the experiment of self-governance will be over, and we have to truly admit that fact too. The reason we're here, brainwashing through public education, brainwashing through the culture change, and under the guise of equality. We have Omar out there. She's a elected representative to Congress. And her loyalty is to Somalia. She's not loyal to the United States of America. Why is she still in there? Because she's actually a foreign or international agent, foreign agent, whatever it is. She's not a representative of the people. She's in there as a traitor, as a foreign agent. And why is she still in there? And I myself have not heard one Republican challenge that. Maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene did, maybe. But I haven't heard any other actions going out there to have her removed, because she openly admitted her loyalty is to the country she's a refugee from. Well, why are you here in America if you love your country so much? Why did Obama plant you here? Because she's an Obama refugee. Yeah. Think about that one, too. Think about how we have done this to ourselves in so many ways. We've been misled and brainwashed into thinking you elect these people. And because they're honorable, because they took an oath of office and all these things, that they're going to do the right things. No. No, the greed and the greediness and the need for power, it's all part of it. And they are, they're destroying us. They are truly destroying us. So like I said, I have an awful lot of things on here. The one other joke in reference to, I almost forgot to mention this, when I was talking about the puppy bowl, I thought it was pretty pretty funny that they show Taylor Swift and Travis Claus were in attendance of the puppy bowl, which I just thought was pretty funny. This is the way the puppy bowl goes. It was quite cute. Taylor Swift. Whatever. Thought that was funny. Okay, and then the other thing, too, hopefully we will have more time to talk about, but I want to get to the Florida situation first. The SCOTUS hearing that was out there, I listened to it. I don't know how many of you did. I listened to 90% of it. I found it so interesting how many times they kept saying, or the guy from Colorado, I guess more so than anybody else, kept saying, the Constitution gives the states a lot of latitude or control over how they select their electors. And somehow he thought that was supposed to mean that they could ban people from the ballot. It doesn't really look like the Supreme Court is going to go that way. It looks like it might everything when you were listening to it, even the liberals on there were saying one state should not have the right to impact a presidential election. Should not have the right to go and remove somebody. So it doesn't look like it's going to pass that way. But we've had so many discussions here about who selects the electors. And remember, it's the electors, that's the only time when we send somebody else to vote on our behalf. Technically, as a American citizen, you do not vote directly for the president. You just don't. The games that they play at the different state levels, including Florida, of how they select these electors is a problem because they can play all sorts of games. And that's exactly what Colorado is trying to do. Colorado at a state level is trying to say, here's who we want, and we're not going to support anybody else, whether we like them or don't like them. And we have control over those electors, so we're not going to let Trump get any of those electors so that they can't cast that vote because we're just going to ban them and say that he doesn't exist. That was the game they're playing. So the Electoral College, which consists of the electors who cast their vote for the president and vice president, you and I don't pick them. We really don't. They'll try to say that the political parties work with their whatever. If I have to be part of a corrupt, slimy political party to be able to vote for the president, there's something wrong. To have any influence, and when I say, because I don't vote for the president, I go in there, they'll have a primary, and there'll be the candidates' names on this ballot. But technically, that isn't a vote for that president, per se. Those electors, it's how they manage the electors. And it's a very corrupt process. So we have very, very little input. The system is corrupted by two private organizations called the RNC and the DNC, and that needs to change, too. People really need to realize that. Okay, let's see. Was there anything else? I think that were some of the key things. If you want to have another joke, Haley loses in the Nevada primary to Nevada primary. None of these candidates, none of the above, which was actually kind of funny. And then the one other thing real quick was the Peter McCullough went to the EU Parliament, and this was actually back in September. I just saw something on it recently where he addresses them and says, stop the shots. More people die from the vaccine than from COVID. Stop the shots. And all countries should leave the World Health Organization. I thought that was good. And I got the links for this information that I'm talking about. I got links out there on the show page for anybody who would like to listen to it. Because I don't make up this stuff. It's out there. It is out there. One more thing. I can't possibly miss mentioning, we have a president who stole classified documents while he was a senator and a vice president when it was illegal. He illegally took classified papers, and not to mention he didn't store them very well or securely. But he's too mentally incapacitated or his memory's gone, and you just really can't prosecute him for the crime he did because he's pathetic, sympathetic, whatever you want to call it. But he can run the country. Can anybody make sense of that? You're too mentally ill to be prosecuted for stolen papers, classified documents, but it's okay for you to run the country. Anybody that would go along with that has to be nuts. I was talking to a young person who was, he really wasn't sure what party he was in. He sort of thought he was a Democrat. He really wasn't sure. The only thing he remembered is voting for pot at one, legalization of marijuana, cannabis here in Florida. That's all he could remember for what that's worth. And it was kind of interesting because I said, I'm looking for a Democrat who says they're better off today than they were 3 or 4 years ago under Trump. And this individual saying, well, I can tell you that. I said, well, I need you to come in on my show and I want you to tell everybody why you are better off today under Biden than what you were then. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to really get him to come on because I did talk to him for a few minutes. And I said, what about this and what about that? And what's that? What? ESG? Huh? The sad part is the ignorance. Doesn't know. But if he truly genuinely believes he's better off today under Biden than he was, then I'd let him come on and share that opinion. Because I am still looking for anybody who can tell me why they're better off today than they were with Trump as the president. How is the world better off today? How are we as a society and a culture better off today? How is our country more safe, more prosperous? How is it? Tell me, because I don't see it. Okay, now I got three people out there, and I'm going to try to go down and get everybody engaged on this as soon as possible. I see three hands up at the moment. See some other people out there, and I'm going to Karen because I want to talk about this Florida House bill where they're trying to cause, once again, the Republicans. Remember, this is Republicans that have control and are doing this. It's disgusting. So with that being said, Karen, and then any updates you want to give us from last week because you were at another event. So, Karen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, and thank you, Sally, as always. I'd like to talk about the event that I went to, but actually this was something that happened before I got there. I had to go to the post office to mail a letter. And when I got there, the woman in front of me was talking to the clerk. And she said to the clerk, "My son will no longer come to the post office to pick up my mail." And the clerk said, "Why?" And the woman said, "Because he was asked to sign his name and he doesn't know how." Think about that. They were not learning how to sign their name. That wasn't the worst part. What was the worst part was I said to her, "And do you know cursive writing?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, then why don't you teach your son cursive writing?" And she said, "I didn't know I could do that." Think about it.
Scary.
I thought my head was going to blow up. This is unbelievably pathetic. And here in Florida, we have an 88% record of students graduating, and 47% of them can't read, write, and 38% of them can't do math on grade level. And then we expect to have brilliant people in our government? Are we kidding? What are we breeding? And it goes even worse than that. I was reading an article, and it said that, you know what? I want to read it directly. It said, 4 years ago, Klaus Schwab bragged that the World Economic Forum and their globalist stakeholders were on track to have total control over the human race by the year 2030. So that's where the 2030 comes from. Part of Schwab's master plan involved penetrating cabinets and recruiting celebrities and influencers to convert and promote the WEF agenda, which is 15-minute cities. You will do more for less. You will have nothing, and they will be happy. And then the problem that we have is we'll read that and we'll say, "Oh, my goodness, how awful, and he's not going to do that," and blah, blah, blah. But we don't connect the dots. Because right near that was an article that said, a trailer for a new Hollywood movie premiering at the 2024 Sundance Film Festival next month asks the question, what is the most dangerous animal on the planet? What do you think that would be?
Groundhog Day.
The answer is white people.
Yeah.
Now, who put this movie out? Who's promoting this movie? Now, it was done, I believe, by a black producer. But who's promoting the movie? White people. Are they that stupid? Yes, they are. And then you read further on, and it says that the military is upset because the Army is now reporting massive decline in who? White people. So they think they can go and demonize white people and then the white people are going to go in the military. So what is their answer? Well, you would think if you were smart that their answer would be stop demonizing white people. No, that's not their answer. This is their answer. The American military penthouse will be lowering the recruitment standards so that the minorities will be able to join. We are living in one hell of a mess. And I am 900%, 9,000, gazillion thousand, million times sure that we are being led by affirmative action graduates. Our country is in major trouble. And this is only a little tiny piece of what is going on. This is a travesty. So then we have the idiots in the Senate, as you were saying, Sally. They took the bill because they couldn't pass a bill for the border that gave no money to the border. So they had to demonize the white people and the Republicans. And then they separated the bill. And they made a $93 billion bill that gives aid to every foreign government that needs it, except America. And then they twisted enough arms, got enough Trump haters to go, and 18 of them, to go and sign on to passing this bill in the Judiciary Committee. And now today they're bringing it to the floor. And what they did in this bill was they funded these governments out through 2026. So if Trump gets in office, what will happen? He's funding, out of his hands, he's funding these foreign governments to the tune of almost $1 trillion. Let's say $1 trillion. Meaning our deficit is going to be $1 trillion bigger. And then let's say Trump says, well, wait a minute, these people are our enemies. These people are not complying. These people are not whatever. So I'm not going to fund them. Or I'll fund only a quarter of it. Or I'll fund an eighth of it or whatever. Well, guess what will happen? He could be impeached for not adhering to the law. These people are so incredibly disgusting. And now, this is what they're voting on tonight. So after everybody hangs up from this call, you should be calling your senator and telling him they better not vote for this bill. I mean, I don't know what the people in South Dakota and Wyoming, out in the Midwest that are MAGA states, are voting yes for this bill. Are they sick? Yes, they are. Something is, they are involved in some, maybe the money laundering, maybe the drugs, maybe who knows. Maybe they're contractors. Maybe they get money from contractors. But this is not about funding Ukraine. This is a lot deeper than that. So here we, the people, will be funding the oligarchs. The administration in Ukraine will be giving them their pensions, and we'll be making sure they have health insurance, and we'll be paying for all that stuff. Sally, did somebody pay for your pension? Did somebody make sure you have health insurance? Because nobody's nobody's knocking on my door and saying, here, Karen, you're a good person. I'm going to fund your pension. I'm going to give you a pension. I don't see that happening. This is unbelievably sick. And then we go to Florida, which, by the way, Debbie Ferris from Defense Florida will be calling in, I believe, around 7. And she will give you a much better explanation on this bill than I will, because I have not studied it. However, to me, it is a 100% government overreach where they are trying to make people be afraid to watch and observe the polls. And the answer that was given was one of the senators, I think it was, don't quote me, I'm not sure, you got to do a little checking, but I think it was Senator Jacques, and his chief of staff called back and said, oh, even though this bill was funded by, it was initiated by a Democrat, he's a good Democrat, so we're going to give him a bill. We decided to give him this one. Are you crazy? What is wrong with these people? This is the free state of Florida with a super red majority. Pathetic, disgusting. Not one of those people should be reelected. Not one. They are all slime. They are all part and parcel of being in cahoots with developers, contractors, you name it. They are totally 100%, as far as I am concerned, disgusting. And it's funny, I started getting some emails from a whole bunch of different people, and some of them were on a liberal rant.
Okay.
So I always write back, and I say, oh, okay, what's a MAGA? I have not gotten an answer yet. This has been going on for two. That's my stock answer. What's a MAGA? Because they're ranting on MAGAs. Those MAGAs, what they did, those MAGAs. You know, they stopped this wonderful bipartisan bill that did nothing except destroy the country. And it's those MAGAs' fault. It's all that MAGA. So I would like, I am going to continue my quest, and maybe next week I will be able to tell you, Sally, that somebody actually told me what a MAGA was. Because these people have no clue.
Yeah, I have another person out there from Florida that I think is wanting to jump in here. Let me go ahead, and because maybe they're talking about the same thing. The last, whoops, okay, where'd they go? Well, okay, I just want to open their mic, and then it disappeared. So hopefully they call back in. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see, here we go. Let's try this again. 7140, if
that's,
you can give us your first name, please.
That's
7140, are you there?
Yes, this is Debbie.
Oh, hey, Debbie.
Hello?
How you doing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Karen, I Richie told me to call in.
Yes. Yes, we were looking for a great explanation on what the heck the morons in your state house are doing.
Oh, so let's start here. Let's start with the big picture. The big picture is that according to all the polls and the best information available, Trump will win in a landslide. Whether they want to realize this or not, that is what the ground game is showing. So the establishment, in our opinion, is doing everything they can to stop him. As you see from the lawsuits, there's that legal perspective. They've kept Nikki Haley against all reason in the race, hoping that she could overcome, which she hasn't been. She's about to suffer a humiliating defeat in her own state. And so then you have everything that else that's happening in the red states. Florida, Georgia, and Texas are critical for Trump because he's not going to overcome Illinois, California, New York. So those three states are mired in their own problems. And so I've given the audience a big picture so you can drill down to see why Florida is important in this bigger picture. So what do we see happening in Florida? We see really good election security bills that we have worked on. I have personally worked on one bill that got sponsored, sidelined. There is no pathway at this point for them to proceed. In fact, they're on life support. So you see that, and then you see some really bad bills. I'm going to hone in on one called 721, HB 721, and its companion in the Senate, 562. That is a bill that is, quote unquote, anti-harassment. It's a return to civility. It is advocating for no threats, no coercion, no intimidation, and no harassment to election workers. Well, first of all, Florida already has statutes protecting elected officials. Florida already has statutes that take care of threats and coercion and intimidation to anyone. So why would you need this particular language for election workers? You might as well call this bill the Shut Up and Smile Bill, because everyone that has been working for election security in the state of Florida now, if this bill passes, can be charged with a misdemeanor. They had it as a third-degree felony, but they reduced the language to a misdemeanor. So what that effectively does is anyone that is observing, is questioning the processes and procedures in Florida can now feel comfortable that they are going to be threatened with a misdemeanor. What that does, let's drill it down even more on a county-by-county level. In Florida, we have about five major cities or five major counties, Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, Orange, and the Tampa area. These counties have a lot of problems in the election processes and procedures. So now any of those people that have been asking their supervisors of elections for cast vote records or public record requests, et cetera, now could be considered harassing. So that's how the geopolitics, I hope, have drilled them down, how they're appearing in Florida. If there are any Floridians on this call, I would ask you to call your local representative and ask them not to vote on this bill, which I might add, we have a supermajority in Florida of Republicans. We have a red governor, and this bill was introduced by a Democrat. How is it that it has already passed two committees without any opposition? Because the soundbite is we're returning to civility, which is a bunch of crock, pardon my French, because Florida just released their 300-plus page of election complaints, and not one single supervisor of election logged in a complaint regarding ill behavior of the people. So this is clearly a Soros-funded campaign, and we know this because we see the same language showing up in different states all over the country. So that's how it paints. I hope I've been able to give a larger, and then how relevant it is here in Florida, but a larger context so that everyone sees how this matters at a nation level. Do you have any questions? Hello?
Well, yep. Sorry. I was on mute, so I don't have any background noise. I try to make it so everybody can hear people clearly. We need to make sure everybody's got the phone number now, because I was myself, I've been asking people to call, obviously call their state senator, representative, but also call the governor's office. And I've got, because worse comes worse, it gets there. I mean, he can still veto it. We've got to push every button that we can to stop this insanity. And call Governor DeSantis' office, it's 850-488-7146. Again, that's 850-488-7146. You can call the House Majority Leader, 850-488-1993. And that one's 850-488-1993. Call every one of them. Go out to the Florida site. Call. Be a nuisance.
Right now.
And just, one thing real quick. Just for the sake of this discussion, may understand, I'm not suggesting that you be rude, hateful, curse, anything like that. It's all going to be polite. You're going to be civilized in that sense. But we're going to let them know we're tired of what they're doing. We have to let them know that we're the ones they work for, because they seem to get confused on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I would ask everybody to be polite and professional, but be very, very firm. The people right now that need to be called are on the House side, Chair McClure, That's the next committee. We could kill this bill in committee by not having them put it on for a vote. And that's the last stop. So that would be Chair McClure. And I can look up his phone number in a bit. And on the Senate side, Senator Burgess.
Yes, my understanding, Danny Burgess, he's a Republican, and two, he's the chair of the Election Integrity Committee or something. Isn't that the case?
Ethics and Elections.
So this is what gets me. I mean, this is the Republicans stabbing us in the back. And I totally understand being polite, and that's, yes, calling up and acting like a nutcase or whatever else and jumping up and down with a temper tantrum, whatever, that doesn't do you any good. You have to be firm and persistent about what we're calling about. You have to be knowledgeable. Because, again, if you act like you don't have any clue what's going on, they're not going to listen to it anyway. But the point is, we have to stop sitting on the sidelines and trusting the Republicans will do the right thing. Because they're not. Unfortunately,
oh, absolutely not.
We have to start voting for character. As I said in the beginning of the show, we've got to stop this mentality of voting for the lesser of two evils. Can't we find anybody that's not evil to vote for and to get into public office? Is some reason why we cannot elect decent, honorable, God-fearing people in this country anymore? We have to elect the lesser of two evils, crooks. It's so disgusting to me. And that's a big part. That's why we're here, because we've allowed the system to take over. We've allowed this this corrupt element to take over. And now we're trying to undo all the damage and undo the money that Soros has brought in, undo the total destruction of this culture while we have an invasion on our border and everything else going on. It's really so insane, but way too many of us, I haven't been one for a while, but way too many of us have played the role of the useful idiot. And we have to, and not trying to be rude, it's just the way the expression where the citizen, just the useful idiot's the citizen that just kind of stands there and is a bobblehead, doesn't know what's going on, doesn't get engaged, doesn't ask questions, doesn't do anything. And all of a sudden when they wonder why all their rights are being taken away from them, they're wondering what happened. That's how we got here. That if we would have been participating like we should have been, if we would have, because we are the sovereign, we the people, we're the governed. Remember, consent of the governed. We wouldn't be in this mess. But we were misled in many ways, and we trusted. We were naive and trusted. This person took an oath. Well, Omar took an oath to who? She took some kind of oath when she went into Congress, but it wasn't to the United States of America, and it wasn't to the American people. And so we have to stop this. We have got to get this insanity. But don't be rude about it, because you only defeat the purpose. But at the same time, don't say, pretty, pretty, please. Would you pretty, 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 please don't destroy us? I mean, you can't say that either. And like I call them representative, and I call them senator. I don't say honorable like they're God, because they're not God. I'm not going to treat these people like God. I'm going to be respectful, but I'm not going to treat them like God. And sometimes go ahead, and then Karen, you can chime in too. Go ahead.
Yeah, may I share a few metrics here with the audience? When you call one of these offices, you're not going to speak to the representative. You will speak to a young aide. I've met a lot of them.
Correct.
They're between the ages of 24 to 30 at most. The beauty of doing this is that when people call, they will have to listen and take note, and it takes up their time. So now that is time that they don't have to spend on whatever job they're doing. The metrics, this is very pathetic, but the metrics are that 5 phone calls on a subject matter gets their attention, and 20 calls, 20, just 20, is a crisis. That is how important making those phone calls are. I have a tool if the audience is interested, because the first time I made this a call, I was very nervous. I did not know what to say. I was, never done this. So I created this program where you will get a text with the actual script and the phone number to call on your phone. I don't issue this very often because it costs money. But right now, since we're in this crisis, I will be, after I get off this call, I will be issuing the next text for those people that I just mentioned that should be called. They're the next on the list of where these bills are going to go. The way you would access this is you would text on your message of your phone the number 91776. That's 91776. And then in the message content, you put, if you're in Florida, this is only for Floridians, you put the word speak, S-P-E-A-K. If you are in other parts of the United States, I do have the same similar system. We tackle national issues, and you would just use the word call. So again, that's 91776. Speak if you're in Florida, call if you're elsewhere. And you will get the text. It's probably, you know, I send it out maybe once a month with a specific action call. The importance of this is that I already have over 500 people making these phone calls. So adding to your voice will just, you're not just one voice out there. You would be added to a number of people that are committed to making these phone calls. I do ask, if you're not going to make the phone call, please don't join, because it costs me a little bit of money every time I send a text out. It's not a lot, but it's something. So please don't join if you have no intentions of making a call. But if you do, this is a useful call to action, and you can do something from the comfort of your home. Thank you. Back to you.
Okay, thank you. Excellent information. And the key is we can make a difference. We know we can do this from what we did with the NAC stuff a few weeks back or in December. And we have a choice, but we have to take action. We cannot just sit on the sidelines and do nothing and strictly talk on shows such as this. The whole purpose of this show is to let people know what's going on and what they can do to get engaged and take action, because we can make a difference. And it truly is up to us. We cannot depend on these candidates to do the right thing or the elected to do the right thing, and you cannot depend on a party. You know, these people, I just call it evil because I don't really know what else to call it, when you would sell out your fellow citizens for the almighty dollar or for power, whatever it is that gets into these people, why they do these things, I don't know. But it's evil to me. It truly is evil. Debbie, are you going to be able to stay on for a few minutes? I got some other people want to join the conversation. May I have some questions for you?
Sure.
Okay.
I've got about 10
now,
15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's see here. I'm going to go to, I believe this is Sarge. I'm guessing Sarge may have a couple of questions. And I see Joe, I see you out there too. Sarge, is that you?
Well, it is. And I think you might have figured out who I am because you inspire such musings in me while listening to talk about the election and the electors. And I really appreciate that information about the Florida version of the Ruby Freeman and Wanda in Bridgeport, Maine Protection Act. That was really eye-opening. I mean, they are really, they do not want challenges to election. They really don't want challenges to election that are vociferous, even if they may be civil and legal. They want you to shut up about it when you make a fuss. They're trying to codify First Amendment speech against stolen election. That's all this is. And you know, Sally, when I was musing, as you do inspire in me all these musings while I listen to you talk about things, I'm thinking to myself, now these people, this lawyer who argued before the Supreme Court that, you know, states have a lot of leeway in determining who appears on the ballot and blah, 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 blah. Well, there's some truth to that. But you know, the one thing I'm thinking that no state apparently is not ever allowed to challenge, no state's ever allowed to challenge the fact that as to whether or not someone is an Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural born citizen qualified to be president. That is a great taboo in the election challenges, I would imagine. I mean, think about it for a minute. These are the same people who are saying that if you're born an American citizen, you're eligible to be president. And I'd like to point out that Prince Archie who was, I forget how much in line in succession to the British throne, was born a British citizen to his mother, owing to the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1953. He was born an American citizen. He is also eligible to be a British monarch. And they are telling us, apparently, if that's their argument, that Prince Archie is eligible to also be president of the United States, which, by the way, would not have happened had they not passed the Cable Act in 1922, and which allowed an American citizen mother to transmit British citizenship to her child if she married a foreign national. Well, that's why Winston Churchill wasn't an American citizen, because his mama was a natural-born American citizen. But she couldn't make him an American citizen until they passed the Cable Act in 1922. And finally, one more thing here. You know, I was thinking about you talking about, the electors, how states choose the electors. And that's all true. That's all true. The state constitution is quite clear. States determine the manner and the selection of electors. But the reason we allow, the states have decided they're going to allow their citizens to vote for president, because if they didn't, they'd probably go up there with pitchforks and torches and maybe run them out of town and throw a tar and feather. If that's what, but remember, constitutionally, they can just have a state in the vote in the legislature, directly appoint the electors and let them vote for president. There's no requirement to be a popular vote in any state. He says that their citizens would demand it. Maybe, now what I fear is, if they tell the constitutionally ill-informed people of the United States that yes, the Constitution does not allow direct election of a president by the broad electorate, fear that might lead to a popular vote amendment, which I don't think would be a good thing for the country at all. What do you think?
No, and I'm going to go to Joe, too, just in case he has any questions for Debbie. I want to make sure we take advantage of the time she's on here. But I'll give you a very quick answer. I do not want to get rid of the Electoral College. Not at all. That is not my intention. The electors who cast the vote for the president and vice president, a.k.a. Electoral College. So, no, I don't want to get – I think we need to keep that there for the right reasons. The thing that I want, and this comes back to the people of Florida in this case, Florida, we need to talk to them about how they select these electors. We should not allow two private entities, private corrupt entities called the RNC and the DNC, to own our ballot box. There's something seriously wrong when private corporations, corrupt at that, control the ballot box. To me, that really sums it up. The ways that we can select the electors, whether they are required to cast the vote on exactly what the people in their district said, whatever. There's all those things that ought to be discussed. But it really, we should have control over who those electors are, not to private corporations, which is what we do today. And most people just don't even think, they think of political parties as some public entity. Well, they're not. They're private corporations. They're private entities in their own. And just look at everything going on with the RNC, with Ronna McDaniels out there and all the garbage they've been doing. The Republican Party, including the Republican Party of Florida, have not been our friend. They really haven't. So why do we keep letting private organizations own our ballot box? So, and if you can hold on, I want to hold that thought, Sarge, I'll get back to you. I want to give Joe a chance in case he, because Joe is a candidate for a House representative in North Carolina, Debbie, just so you know. So he may be wanting to ask you a couple of questions, and I want to make sure time to ask.
No,
yeah.
Actually,
go
you
ahead,
can carry.
Joe.
Go ahead. No, actually, I don't have any questions. I was just listening. I just wanted to let you know I was out here. So, you can go ahead and carry on. But thanks, I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, something for you to think about for your house, because we've talked a couple times about what's happening in North Carolina. Okay. Excuse me. Karen, anything else you think we want to cover while Debbie's on? Again, thank you so much for calling in, Debbie. You're welcome to stay as long as you want, but I want to make sure we make the best use of your time.
No, I think Debbie did a great job of covering everything. The major thing is up to us. We have to call. There's no, we are beyond the point of thinking that the people that represent us will represent us. They don't. And until we get past that spot and actually pick up the phone and do something, we're going to be in the mess that we're in right now. So thank you, Debbie. And rest of us, it's up to us. The ball is in our court.
For sure, for sure. And I just want to encourage the audience, you know, there's many ways that you can get involved. It doesn't have to be in legislation, which is, I might add, supremely boring. But, you know, if there you have very few candidates coming up because it is such a corrupt system. So anyone that says, you know, I am going to run, they need so much help. They need door knocking. They need funding. They need people to advocate. There's just many, many ways that people can help candidates that are running. Right now, the machinery is against the candidates. Those who are patriot candidates find themselves running against establishment candidates that the Republican Party will put so that they do not win. I have seen this happen here in Florida. And so the only way that a patriot candidate can overcome this is by intense grassroots involvement. And that sometimes is just knocking on the door, hosting a meet and greet for your candidate or someone, you know, getting involved. So I just want to encourage people. There's so many ways. I also wanted to let everyone know that if they want to learn to be effective advocates, they can look this up. We have a lot of training information on the defendflorida.org.
I've done
website.
A lot of the direct mailing. A lot of the direct mailing for my campaign of, you know, personalized handwritten, not hand-typed letters to, you know, different versions and sent them out to all the registered voters or many as I can in my district. I thought that worked very well.
That works really well. Always a personal touch. I'm very involved in a campaign here in Florida. It's not where I live, but it's a pathway that we see towards legislation. This fellow is door knocking on those voters that show up in the primaries because he has to defeat a Republican to make it through. I just wanted to encourage the audience. You know, there's many tools. And
real quick,
yeah.
Debbie, I see another Floridian out there with her hand up, and I have this is Cindy. She probably has a good question or some info as well, and then we'll let that be the last call. And again, you're welcome to stay as long as you want. But Cindy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. No, I want to talk about something completely different. I applaud everybody is doing, but I can tell you right now, they're building a wall around us, and it's happening. Andre Duany, if anybody doesn't know who he is, he's a planner, was up in Vero Beach. They're pushing the regionalism. I've done a lot of research this week. It is happening all over Florida, and it is a disgrace. And Cole and I forgot the name of the firm, these are planners. They are the ones that are promoting it. We defeated the 750 regional plan, seven counties. That was in 2013, I believe. We'll now be doing a piecemeal. And I can tell you in Martin County, they are pushing it. It's like I've never seen before. Today they just came out with they're building more apartments. So tomorrow, this weekend, they're going to have the state of Martin County at a church where my friend goes to. I don't think anybody in that, and I'm going to tell you why, because the Negron, who used to be the speaker or the Senate president up in Tallahassee, Joe Negron, who's a local boy, all right, went to the Bible college, became a rep. Then he became the Senate president, and then he went to work for one of the biggest law firms state of Florida. So his wife now is talking about running. These people, they know exactly what they're doing, and I've known Joe for years. Nobody is going to stop this. And Andre Duany is going around Florida. You should see the list of towns that this Cole and I forgot the name of the planners. Unbelievable. And they're actually what they're doing is and Karen, Agenda 21 is alive and well. They can change all the words that they want, but it is happening. It's right here in Stewart. So I put out an alert yesterday, and they have another bill. I don't know if you got that today, but Jim Lampe sent out, I think it was Jim Lampe, one of them sent out something about another bill taking our local away from us again. So we already have the Live Local Act, which can, you know, go against our comprehensive plan of mental care, and now they're going to have another bill. So I'm going to tell you what my chairman of the party said to me. It's over. She was in Tallahassee for two terms. It's over. It's all about money, power, and greed. And began to tell me a lot about what happens up there, which I already knew. And it's disgusting. Now we have another candidate here who we found out that moved up to Hope Sound. Looks like he's been put in by the developers. So we have a cabal, and they're all working, and they're all putting in the they're all following the regional planners. You know, we have the Treasure Coast Regional Plan. So that's who they're listening to, and it's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. So that's what happened in the last 3 days in Martin County, and it's happening all over. And I'll tell you, there are the counties that have already signed on to this and are already on their way, if not even for the worst. Sarasota, Tampa, Punta Gorda, I can go on and on and on. The list that this planning associates have of all the places that they have represented, even places across the pond over in Europe and so forth and so on, is amazing. And Florida has so many, and Palm Beach County. It's really a mess, and nobody's working on it. Mel Kay, this is what happened this week. Ann Vandersteel and Mel Kay spoke last week at some event, the Trumpsters. So this friend of mine was going to go there, so I texted Ann Vandersteel, and I said to her, if Mel Kay is going to be talking about this, does she realize that it's implemented? They're doing it right in front of us. And here are the towns and the counties doing it. Well, they went to the Trumpster meeting, and nobody said a damn thing. Nobody talked about it. She didn't say anything about it. This is a really a big deal. Because when they get it done, we're all going to live in the urban boundary, and then they're going to tell us we can't have a car. And let me quote Andrew Duane. He said that fascism is a great way to use. It's a tool. And he likes fascism. And we have him on tape talking about it. And here he is in Vero Beach, okay, where Phyllis Fry and all these people who worked really hard to get rid of the 750 regional plan with us, and he's up there, and I'm sorry to say, but I think the city of Vero Beach will probably go along with it, and that's what's going to happen.
It's a very sad situation. People really don't understand how bad off of what's going on, the stuff that's happening here in Florida, and we have a chance. It's up to us to take it back. Yes.
All right. Let me just because I went back and looked at my notes from when we defeated the 750. I have a little book, and it's called Beware Metro and Regional Government by Phoebe Courtney, an expose of the plans of those who seek to destroy local and self-government in the U.S. and substitute by federal metrocrats. All right. This book was written in 1973. P.B. Courtney wrote about the CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations, gun control, many, many books. She also had a like a newsletter. And I'm looking, this is in, let me see when she wrote this book. Nixon is the one that gave us regionalism, by the way. He is the region that we're fighting. Okay?
Yeah.
But this little book I used, and I spoke in front of the county commission when they were going to vote in the vote for the 750, and they didn't. So I used this book. This book was first published in 1973, and look where we are. So I just think that that's a really big deal, and there's nobody talking about it. There's nobody paying any attention, and there's just a bunch of crooks up there. I'm disgusted with them all. Toby Overdorff, Snyder. And Gail Harrell are my representatives. I've known them since I've forever, and they're just going along. They don't care. And it is a zoo, absolute zoo. So I'm just furious. And now there's another bill up there where they're going to take more local control. So I don't know how to stop.
Yeah, we are definitely in a quagmire trying to get things cleaned up, but I just refuse to give up on it, and I truly believe if the majority of the people that believe as we do take action, we can make a difference.
And when we're running candidates and who are opposing this, the problem is that and let me tell you where the problem is. We don't hire the planners. I don't vote the plan for the planners. The minute that person gets into office on a local level, they hire planners, they hire all these people, they listen to the Treasure Coast Regional Council, and they're implementing it. And like one of our commissioners said, he needs like two others to counter it. And then we pay them. It's coming out of our tax dollars to implement Agenda 21, 2030. Think about it. We are paying our commissioners, right, who hire the planner who gives advice to the commissioners, and that's what we're watching happen right here in Stewart. It's crazy.
Yep.
So I don't know. We have two or three candidates running. We're going to be vetting a candidate on Saturday at my meeting. And basically that's what we're doing here. So I'm not giving up, but I think it's just so bad. I can't even tell you, it's disgusting. And I see it, and a lot of people are asking, why are they doing this? Why are they building another two apartment buildings? And I said, because they don't want you to own anything. That's where you're going to live. And they don't believe me. But that's what's going to happen, because eventually they'll just raise all the taxes, and that's the way for us to get into those apartments. And they're following exactly what Duane was talking about. And by the way, there was an article, and it was in the Palm Beach or the Treasure Coast newspaper, of Andre Duane up in Vero Beach. So I can imagine he'll be down here in Stewart promoting the same nonsense. And this is the man that built Seaside, Karen, and you guys up in the Panhandle. Karen knows who he is. And he is down in Coral Gables, down in that area. I mean, he is a detriment. I mean, to honestly say that fascism is good. And, he said many other things. But, I mean, people are listening to him because he's an expert, and he's going to help them in their town get that straightened away. Because, we have to get with the program here. So that's what's going on. That's what happened.
Do you think you'll be able to get any of those people to make a phone call in reference to this other issue with this 721?
When I put in my newsletter, they all make phone calls, yes. Everybody's making phone calls.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. They are doing that. That's not a problem. The biggest problem, I think, is people are really overwhelmed. And, a lot of people are just concentrating on Trump. And I said, well, Trump isn't going to fix this. He's not going to fix it. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, no, he'll take care of it now. He was asked about it when he was in office the first time. Not personally, but I don't know if Karen remembers, but Jenny Beth sat down with other activists and grassroots and a bunch of other people. They were invited to the White House. And I asked Jenny Beth to ask them if they were going to get rid of sustainable development in the government agencies. I didn't even know what we were talking about. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it was a few months back that I started joining, calling in on the Defend Florida call on Tuesday evenings. And we have a lot of people there. I think we need to encourage those who really want to be proactive and take back the state of Florida and take back our country to join the call. And it's just go out to defendflorida.org, I think, is how you can sign up to join the call. Is that correct, Debbie, before I misstate anything? I've been out there for a while, so I've...
Yes.
I've,
Sally,
yeah.
One of the other things that we have to do is pay attention to the grants, because that's how all of this gets started. The first thing that will happen is they wave the grant money in front of one of the legislators' faces, and they take the grant money and they don't read the grant. And in the grant it says you have to hire a sustainable development person, and you have to have X number of sustainable development in your community. And in order to fulfill the grant application, you have to do certain things. Our question should really be, do we need the grant? The answer is no. And one, how much of the budget does the grant represent? And then what is it going to cost us to fulfill the grant? Because usually it's very lopsided. The grant may be a couple of percent, maybe 5% of budget, but it's going to cost 30% of budget to fulfill the grant. So it doesn't pay to take the grant to begin with. But that's how these things start with the big creep. And that's how they have these organizations like ICLEI and going around and trying to entice. And I remember we used to do seminars on the Delphi technique, how they set it up so that in the end of the seminar, the people would say, oh, yeah, we want to have 1 million bike paths. Oh,
that's
yeah, we want to, you know, do whatever. And, you know, to fulfill the grant. So we have to be able to do that.
Yeah, we have another caller out there. I'm going to comment one thing, too, real quick, just for people who might not be familiar with this. I dealt with this way back in Orlando, Metro Plan Orlando. Go out there and look if you're not familiar with them. Metropolitan Planning Organizations. This is a federal government throwing money at the locals. It's the same old garbage, just like SunRail, ScamRail, all this other insanity. It all trickles down, and we see what's happening right in the state of Florida at your local level. That's the same garbage, only compounded by how many billions of dollars up in D.C. If we don't, and the two, we got to shut down D.C. to stop this. But we need the people at the state and local levels to reject the federal money, and they seem like they can't do it. They're too weak. I don't know what it is, and this is the stuff that goes on over. This is the way all this is. Okay, well, you give this. Then you got the same with the Department of Education. It's truly no different. Wait a minute. We have a federal Department of Education. They're going to spoon feed us on how we're supposed to teach kids if we want that federal money. Tell the states we don't want the federal money. We will take care of ourselves. It's called being a sovereign state within a sovereign nation. We are a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. It's called the 10th Amendment. Most of these people at the state level don't know what the 10th Amendment is. They have no clue. And Karen and I have witnessed that plenty of times together, and I'm sure others out there. When you go out there and you talk to them about different things and you ask them about this and why are you doing this, they don't know. We had definitely the affirmative action, the dumbing down, whatever you want to call it, of people who don't understand any of this process, know nothing about it, yet they ran for public office when they don't really understand it. It's scary stuff. Let's see. I believe this is Boyd out there.
Yeah, hi there, girls, ladies.
Hey.
Girl, ladies.
How you doing?
I take it you're all of the female sex right
yeah.
now.
That's okay.
Hey,
Go ahead.
Listen, I'm a little late getting into this hootenanny, but, you know, I know what you're talking about, and I'm not all against investment. You know, and building and stuff. I live in a state that has boom and bust. But here's the kicker. If you want to fight this, that you might think about and consider, okay, you're going to go out, or whoever is going to go out and get federal grants or even state grants or, you know, county grants. Anytime you get a grant, okay, you get that money. You have to put up a certain portion of it. That's the game. However, the one thing that nobody I have ever seen talked about, okay, once you get this project built, okay, who is going to pay for the maintenance? You're not going to get a grant to pay for the maintenance. You know, you already took the grant to build it. Who pays for the maintenance on that thing for the next 30 or 40 years? And how much is it going to cost you to maintain it?
Okay. Let me give you, this is the example. This is, it's all the same thing. And this is, but we have these people that get into public office and all they see are dollar signs, how much they're going to get, how much they're going to give to their friends, et cetera, et cetera. In Orange County, it was called SunRail was what they called it. It's really ScamRail is what it really was, a boondoggle. And because we have to do something about transportation, we have to do traffic on I-4 is too bad. And so we're going to get a federal grant because we want mass transit. We want to take people out of their personal cars, blah, 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 blah. And so now we're going to do this. So the federal funding, this is across the board, across all the states, federal funding for high-speed rail, mass transit, blah, blah. It doesn't work. It's a total failure. It's been one a boondoggle. But the federal government gives you so much money, okay, to help you along, to get you a jump start on this. Well, then 6 years later, when you were supposed to be spending $1 billion, now you're up to $10 billion, whatever nonsense it is. Nobody rides the stinking train. It's nothing but a waste. It's nothing but a boondoggle. But if the state tries to pull the plug, they got to repay the money back to the feds. So they keep on doing this garbage. It's all garbage. It's all a scam. And many of us go out there fighting it. But when you're fighting the money and you don't get the people to participate, everybody would agree, oh, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be doing this. Well, we say, okay, are you going to come to the commission meeting and tell them this? Are you going to go to Tallahassee and tell them this? Are you going to, what are you going to do? Nothing. Okay. So this is why we get this crap. Anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's a big part of what you're talking about.
But the question that I would say should be asked at all of these meetings, okay, is how much is it going to cost to maintain annually? And who's responsible for paying for that maintenance annually? You know, who's going to pay for the maintenance? the thing is, you got the free money to build it, but you don't have no money to pay for it or to maintain the project. You know, whatever it is, who's going to maintain that goddamn thing?
Well, Karen can answer, but of course I can answer it again from the SunRail and Lynx and all their stupid bus systems and everything else. The people propose different solutions that would pay for themselves much better. But if you're talking for the sake of this discussion on what I'm saying, mass transit, there will always be some government subsidy because mass transit is just, it's never going to make money. It's never going to break even. It's always going to be some. If it's truly worth it, it's some, just like a park and whatever else, so things that if the people are willing to pay some to help improve transportation, then fine if that's what they want. But that isn't what the deal ever is. The deal is shoved down our throats after we said, no, we didn't want it. We wanted a referendum. They wouldn't let us have a referendum on it. We vote it down, then they go around us. They do all the garbage that they can because of this. And they don't care about the cost. The money isn't there's a book out there about public projects, public estimation of projects, errors or lies. They're all lies. They always tell you, oh, it's only going to cost this much. That's a lie. They know it's going to cost more than that. The projects never go as they say planned. Well, we've already invested $10 billion. Well, who's going to do this? Well, now that we've built this gigantic garbage boondoggle, well, if we stop paying for it now, well, who's going to pay for it? The taxpayers, the taxpayers, the taxpayers. It's an old game. It's an old scam. And of course, their friends are in various jobs and companies and whatever else. They sure got fat and happy off of it while we pay for their garbage. But try to stop it. Try. You go out there and try to stop it. It's not easy. And Karen, I think it was you who went to the school board or something. Or the voting machines, whatever it was, how much it was going to cost for them to vote, I think it was the education, you're going to get so much money from the federal government, how much is it going to cost to implement it? It's the same thing. We have another caller out there, but I didn't mean to cut you off, boy, but it's really not rocket science. They don't care about the money. The money means nothing to them.
Keep that in mind, though, to tell the taxpayers.
It's not their money, yes. And it's the future when they're not going to be in office. They don't care. You got
a machine that prints the money.
Well, that's true too. But it's not, they don't care. You have to equate it to something right now in that budget that they are responsible for, never something in the future with these people, because they have no future. They don't think about the future. They have no consequences to their actions. They are now immediate people. That's all they care about. I'm going to put this in today. I'm going to get X number of dollars. I'm going to be able to give it to my brother-in-law, and he'll be the construction company, and then we'll hire my cousin who will do this and that and blah, blah, blah. Who's going to pay for it? The people will pay for it. We'll take a portion of their rent, and they'll pay for it. It doesn't work that way with them. You have to be now, that minute, ask them money questions for today, but for the budget that they have to balance, which they can't once they implement this. And you got to make them come up with hard costs. What is it going to cost? Because the grant never covers it either. The grant only covers a portion.
No, never.
So they
never.
May build a building, and the grant will cover the sidewalks or the electricity. But who's going to do the construction work? The grant doesn't cover that. Well, how much is that going to cost? We don't know. So that's where you got to get them. And you can't let them get ahead of you. And we have a bad habit of exactly what you're saying and expecting them to come up with an answer when they're incapable of that. They only think of today.
Yeah, well, you know, that's where I was saying is you got to start, you should start considering setting into the minds of the taxpayers, you know, what are the maintenance costs going to be on this thing? Who's going to pay for it? Where are we getting the money? You know, and all of that stuff, because none of that is covered by the grants at all. I mean, up here, we go around and they build new school buildings and stuff like that. Brand new school buildings. And in 10 years, they're floating a bond for $10 million to go in there and repair and rebuild the school building that's only 10 years old because they claim they don't have the money to maintain the building as it goes.
Of course. They don't, like Karen just said, they don't care about the future. They say, well, if we need more money, we'll just go to those idiot taxpayers because we'll just say we have to have it. They, over and over again, right now in Orange County, they're trying to raise the sales tax a penny for transportation because they don't have enough money. Yet all you can go out there and see where they squander it. You say, here's where you can cut and you won't need it. And this is where Orange County, more than any other county in Florida, it's getting close, but Florida has more toll roads than any place else. And someone's trying to reach me here. They have more toll roads than anything else, so you're paying a double tax on that. So they don't care about the money. Yeah. We have another caller
county,
out there. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In our county, we're in a rural county. And everybody has well and septic. So they raised the taxes so they could put in sewers. Who needs them? Nobody asked that question. Unfortunately, we caught it before it was too late. But that was only one section. There's no reason to put in sewers. There's nothing wrong with well and septic. Well and septic means the individual has to take care of their own well, their own water, and their own septic tank. And believe me, if the septic tank does something, the individual will take care of it. When you put in sewer, not only does the individual have to pay for water, sewer, and in and out, and they wind up paying twice as much, but now the individual is beholden to the county to have to maintain the sewer lines. And how well does that work out? And what does that cost? So nobody explains that. So in that regard, you're right. But you have to use current things. What's wrong with the way it is? Nothing is wrong. If it's not, if you have to raise the taxes to fix something, then it's not worth fixing. It's not worth doing. And this is, so many carrots that the government gives that's what we have to be on top of. And how many people go to a zoning and planning meeting people don't go. That's the other thing. We have to get the people to go. They have to go to planning and zoning. Every county in the country has to have a plan, and that's where all of this comes from. So now they have the sustainable development goals, that's their plan. And that's how the government helps them, by helping them hire a sustainable development person who will do things like make sure there's a charging station on every corner so everybody can charge their electric vehicles that they won't be able to use. Why on earth do we need that?
Yeah. Go ahead, Boyd. Then I want to get back to Sarge. I had to kind of cut Sarge off a little bit earlier there. Debbie's had to drop. Oh. And then also we got another caller. So, Boyd, go ahead.
Go. That's okay. I just wanted to bring up what I thought, you know, if you're going to go educate the taxpayers, that's one of the other things, is and have them go into the meetings that they're not going to and ask these idiots, what is the plan for maintenance and how much is it going to cost and where are you going to get the money for it and who's going to maintain it? You know?
They're all valid questions.
Just put them on the spot and say, unless you got a plan to maintain these things, don't take the money.
That's right.
Be that simple.
Yep. It should be that simple. If you could get people who aren't greedy and money hungry and idiots, whatever, you know, in public office. But there again, I know that we don't have enough people saying it. There's definitely those of us who have said it. We have documented it. We have proven it. We've done the accounting on it. We've done the all the analysis of it. You can prove it, but they don't care. It was, Orange County. We had a referendum. We said no. We wanted no tolls on I-4. We said we wanted no SunRail, ScamRail. We said no. We said no. We said no. We said it costs too much. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't serve its purpose. They said, we don't give a crap what you say. We're doing it anyway. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness truth.
Okay. Well, hey, listen, I've got to drop off. That was all that I really had to say.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Call back in if you want to add anything else.
Well, I'm going to stay here. I'm just going to mute myself.
Okay. That's good. You can do that.
And unlike Sarge, I think I know where my mute button is.
And then I think it's Tate that's down there too. So I'll get to you, but Sarge, I had to kind of cut you off a little bit when we had Debbie on. But now we can get back onto some of this other discussion as well. If you're still there, see, take the mute button off.
He's fumbling for his mute button.
Hey, I'm still here. No, I had my mute button on, ironically. Yeah, I did. But look, I guess the only thing I wanted to add to what I had said was, now that I realize, you know, look, the state of American education with regard to civics and the Constitution, as you regularly point out, is so abysmally god-awful bad that people will not appreciate the 18th century rationale for the Electoral College in the first place. Or it's not the Electoral College, but the electors in the first place. And I fear that making them aware of what the states could do as an actual mechanism might impel a drive to have a direct popular election. And that means that, of course, our elections would be, presidential elections would be governed by New York, California, New Jersey, Illinois, Texas probably, and maybe a few other enclaves in the United States. So assuming, look, we want to educate people, but we don't want them to do something stupid because they believe democracy was the intention of the Constitution. So how do we guard against that?
That is the key question, and as I was saying earlier, I definitely do not want to get rid of the Electoral College, even though there's an element out there that's trying to do that as we speak. There's definitely those who try to. But we need to educate people on why we have an Electoral College. The electors who cast the vote for the president and vice president, they don't cast the vote for anything else, but that is the true only national election, and that's why we want to have the same representation at the state level as what we have in Congress. For those people to do that. The challenge is as to how how those electors are selected from the state. But more importantly, well, I guess it's equally important, the same thing, we should not let two private corporations dictate this stuff. This is what's so sick. We have all these political parties and, of course, the independents, no party affiliates out there. We have all these people out there who are basically disenfranchised from the presidential election. There's a certain disenfranchise at any level when you have closed primaries and people are blocked from participating in the primary process, for whether that be for the Senate or for the representatives, the state representatives, state senator, federal, et cetera, et cetera. So it's still a problem at that level. But during the general election, you cast a vote to the person you want. But that never is the case when it comes to the presidency. The only thing, by voting in the presidential election, you do say what your will is, what you want, but that doesn't guarantee whether those electors are going to cast that vote that way. And it'd be kind of interesting if talking about these electors and everything else that happened back in the day of George W. Bush and Al Gore and all that mess that was going on, the hanging chads routine, because they were acting like it was that. And if they're committed and required to vote as the people vote said, that's fine. But Florida says you gotta vote the way you're told to vote. It's not by the party. You're supposed to stand by the party. You can't, the elector can't cast a vote differently and that kind of stuff. It really needs to be a higher discussion, but I definitely do not want to see us get rid of the Electoral College. I think we need to have it to keep some balance across the country. Go ahead.
Well, Sally, how do you think people are going to react if we tell them that the intent of the Constitution was not to implement democracy, even though it has democratic elements? I mean, how do you think most people are going to react since they've been brainwashed since, I don't know, they were knee-high to grasshoppers, to believe that democracy is the greatest thing since sliced bread?
Well, once again, go back to good old education. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you have to get them to understand what a democracy is and the difference between a democracy and a republic. Because we use democratic ideals and we use some democratic actions, but the whole deal is that we are a republic, which is why we don't say the pledge anymore. But that's what we have to start. You have to get them, you have to say, okay, what's a democracy? Well, they can't describe that either. So first you got to lay out and get them to understand the definitions of the words that they're using, because they don't understand those either. They just use the words. They think, I got a whole email from someone who told me how the Constitution was a document that promoted slavery. Really? What were they reading? What Constitution were they reading? So this is the stuff that we have to combat to be able to get them to understand, you know, how to go back and say, okay, what is, explain to me how. I'm still waiting for an answer. But they just use the words. Most of them use the words. They don't even know what they mean. And that's,
well,
we,
and if we were a true democracy, let me put this question out there. If we were a true democracy, what rights with all the transgenders, LGBTQFZ thing, and all that nonsense, what the woke thing, how much power and say would they truly have if we were a true democracy the way these people think?
Not much.
Not much.
Exactly.
But they don't understand that. Because I that's what I do. I usually go back to them and I say something like, okay, 95% of the population is not homosexual. You know, 95% of the population. So if we were having a vote, you would be voted out. So how is that a democracy? So that's up to us. And what we have to do, we get frustrated so we don't explain it. But we have to understand when they use a word, it's, unless we make them define it, they have no idea what they're talking about. And that's the easiest way to get them, is to make them define it and then make them use it. Use that word in a sentence. Use that word. How does it relate? Because they can't figure that out either. And here's another one. You say, somebody, oh, we have to get rid of CO2. We must be net zero CO2. Oh, really? How much CO2 is in the air? And I get back, you know what I got back as an answer? I have no idea.
So what are you getting rid of?
What is the job of CO2? I have no idea. So then why do you want to get rid of it? They have no idea. It's just a call that has been indoctrinated into their brain so much so that every time they hear the word CO2, they go, oh, man, we have to get rid of it. It's the same thing. Somebody called me a racist. I said, please give me an example. Show me when I was a racist. Find something in my writing where I am a racist. Oh, well, you think that the blacks, blah, 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 can't read, write, and do math. I said, no. I said, the students. I didn't say the blacks. I said, the students, the Florida students. It just happens that proportionally there are more blacks in that because they're not being taught. Not that they can't read, write, and do math. It's that nobody taught them how. So it's our fault. It's our fault for not holding them accountable to the words that they use, not making them say, okay, if you do this, then what is the result going to be, and what is that? How is that going to impact the kids or whatever, whatever we're talking about? If I take all the CO2 out of the atmosphere, how are you going to live? Well, what do you mean? It was like, when did we see? We saw that movie called Planet of the Humans. And the woman was talking to the moderator, the person who was doing the documentary. And they were going, the documentary was about going around America and seeing how people, how they were implementing the green program. So the guy talking to one of the people, I think she was one of the administrators or something big in Detroit. And she said, we are going to have all of these charging stations and it's going to be wonderful. So the guy says to her, oh, really? Where does the electricity come from? And she said, oh, from that building over there. What kind of an answer is that? What's in that building over there?
It's true.
You mean that building over there that used coal to generate the electricity? Because I remember that event. She was pointing to a building that used natural gas or coal to generate the electricity.
Right. So how is that green? We allow them to say, oh, green agenda. And you don't say, what is a green agenda? How? Explain it to me. How does it work? Tell me how you work. We went through a whole thing with this, I remember. Okay, what do you do when you plug the car in? Well, you plug it in, it goes to the building. Well, where does the building get its electricity? Well, the building gets its electricity from the wires. Well, where do the wires get their electricity from? Until you bring it back to...
Our vice president just says, just plug it into the wall, that's all.
That's it. I plug it into the wall and that gives me its electricity.
This is so scary. This
no.
is the ignorance.
Hey, you know, maybe we can make these dummies understand it better if we explain to them, hey, folks, how do you think your battery that starts and turns the starter motor in your gasoline-powered vehicle, how do you think that battery gets recharged? And give me a few minutes to think about it. The gasoline engine has a fan belt that attaches to a pulley on the alternator, which rotates it and generates
the
electricity to recharge the battery. Then maybe they'll start to understand, maybe.
Yes, you're right.
Because most people drive cars. Most people do drive internal combustion engine cars, but they also instinctively understand, at the very least, that the car can't get started without an electric starter motor. It needs
a
battery to get it going.
Sorry. Uh-uh. I put the key in, and that starts the car.
I'm sorry. Thank you for setting me straight. Thank you for setting me straight. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
nowadays the kids with
so
the new
cars
just push a button.
Yeah, they are so bored of anything that
it's
is
magic.
Relevant to
it's magic.
Yeah, it's magic. It's the same thing like,
okay, what we should do when they say, we have to get rid of fossil fuels. Oh, okay. Could I have your glasses? Could I have your cell phone? Could I have your computer? Could I have your watch? Could I have, well, wait a minute. What do you mean? Well, you need oil to produce all of these things. So if you take away the oil, you don't have anything.
That's the other sad truth.
Most
people have no clue.
Yeah, they have no clue. So if we don't explain it to them, I remember when I was growing up and we lived in the city, and I went out to the country in the summer. My parents were fortunate enough to be able to bring us to the country, upstate New York. And I went home, and my girlfriend asked me what we did. And I said, well, I picked fruit and I picked beans, went to the farm. And she said, what? And I said, well, where do you think the food comes from? She says, it comes from the can and the shelf.
That's so sad.
Serious. This is
sad. The ignorance.
And it is.
Ignorance is not bliss.
Yeah, they're not stupid. They're ignorant because nobody ever told them. If you don't teach a person to read, they can't read. If you don't teach them what's in the Constitution, they'll hate it because they have no idea what's in it. They don't hate the Constitution. They would love it if they knew what was in it. So it's up to us to do that, and that's why I keep on saying get your kids out of the government schools. Because that's the only thing that's going to make an impression. It's like what I read before. They demonize the white people, and then they're surprised that the white people don't want to join the military. I mean, that's what it can be.
It's really, truly not rocket science as to what's happening. We're getting down to about 13 minutes here. Now, I think Tate was out there, but it looks like chose not to decided not to join the conversation, so unless you're going to throw something in there, okay, let's get this in here. And we've got to we can run over a few minutes, but I can't take up too much tonight. Go ahead, Tate. Sorry you had to, wait out there.
No, it's all right. I was at the store, and I had to call back. So you guys were talking earlier about the, first of all, I'd like to comment on the kids wanting the computers. Can I have this? Can I have that? I haven't yet to have my nieces or any of my nephews ask me for a shovel, a hammer, how to use it, anything like that right off the bat. But then that spins off, and you were talking earlier about the infrastructure in the city with the water and whatnot and getting the money. If you want to look up a perfect example of how to do it, the perfect failure, the city of Akron, Ohio, is the golden child of this whole operation, what you're talking about, because I watch or go to every city council meeting on Mondays, and they don't do anything but fight amongst each other, and it's an all-Democratic board. And the government money, when they started getting the money for the COVID and the DARPA and all this other stuff, it was a good thing for them, which is understandable. So they start building up this, I want to call it their miniature war chest, because none of them are going to go to war anyway except with each other with throwing pencils and erasers. The thing with it was the money got accumulated, and then somebody started getting into it. This group took some. This group took some. And there's a division in the city council now where you have black and whites, where the blacks are now being actually coming forward and saying, hey, you guys are hiring people to do these jobs that we're getting the government money for. Are they or do they have minority status? Because the government and the city officials have been so corrupt for this entire – I want to say we had a mayor for 32 years prior, had the same guys doing the same concrete work, the same street work. It was all – there was no open bids. So now that comes to light, and it starts a complete circus. Now they've gotten to the point to get this government money and the infrastructure. When I heard that come across and they were going to get more money to build, because we already – we have a pretty big city. We have projects going on with those same groups of people that have been doing the same jobs, which they can maintain it. And they were smart about it because they didn't overbid or do too much, or they at least finished the project. Now, like the one guy was saying, who's going to maintain these projects? Before you can even start to maintain them, you have to complete them. These assholes now have got 45 different exit and on-ramps on the highways closed, and there's not enough guys to cover the entirety of the work that they've bid out. They've accepted the money. and they can't get the jobs complete. We're talking in, supposed to be finished in spring of this year, something they've now borrowed on. I think it's they got these grants. It's like 20-some million extra dollars, and they're not going to be done for another 3 years. And then you talk about the schools. Perfect. Golden Child Akron. They're one of America's all-American cities, I think it was in 92. Now it's all-American shitty because the exact same thing you're talking about, build these schools, they can't maintain them. The problem with that is once you tear one school down, you have to relocate the kids in this area. You either have to bus them to another school, and the classrooms are already overcrowded. Now you're going to put more kids in one school. You're going to compound the problem with the teachers that already can't teach the kids that want to learn because the asshole kids in this class are distracting, stealing completely away from the education from these kids that don't want to borrow my shovel, my hammer, to go out and finish the work when they get old enough to fix the roads, do the infrastructure. So overall, these assholes have completely effed up this operation, and I know it's not just in Akron. And I can't believe how this all just goes right one after the other. Perfect. Like they planned it, like they had a blueprint. It's mind-boggling.
I think they do. They do.
They have a blueprint. That's the problem.
The people don't get engaged.
That's right.
We go out there and say, oh, we trust you to do the right thing, and then they see the money.
Right.
I mean, Jefferson had so many quotes in reference to it. When you give people the right to give themselves a raise and all, I mean, just so many times. It's the human condition.
The worst part about all of it. The worst of all of it. I mean, they can do whatever they want with the roads. I'll go buy a bigger truck. I'll get bigger tires. I'll deal with that. But when they started doing this shit with kneeling down for opposing the police department, our mayor went down to the temporary mayor after the other guy left after 30 years. They finally run him out. They defund the police started. Now they've got a problem with crime. You have a complete fall apart in our situation where we have what used to be called American Medical Response, where the private ambulances were running around, and they're going crazy. They have decided to uproot their operation and left Akron. So now Akron we're short EMTs, we're short actual ambulances. They need money to fix them, but yet they don't even have the people to put in place to do it because they only put so many in a class. It's complete nonsense. But to defund the police.
Well, and you think about this and what it ultimately comes down to, which is what is so fundamental to us as a country and, of course, what the culture used to be. The more you depend on government, the more you're going to end up getting impacted
right.
like this. And there used to be these things called volunteer fire departments. And
right.
Then we also had this thing called churches. The churches don't do anything like they should be doing, the way they should be helping, and things like that.
No.
We kept saying, well, we're going to let government do it. Government's
yep.
going to take care of it. We're going to give them the money, and they'll manage this for us. Well, they don't manage it. They first, some of them are too stupid to manage it. They don't have a clue how to manage anything. So take that to begin with, the common sense factor that Trump frequently talks about. They don't know how to. And then the other is like, well, gosh, look at this. I have all this right in front of me, and my friend over here happens to be in the construction business. Oh, yeah,
yep.
let's go. And the game
That's
starts.
Right.
And it comes down to, well, we had the candidate on, James Judge, who was on, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, and he's running for Congress here, District 12, I think it is, in Florida. And he said we have a spiritual war going on here. And I truly believe that's a major part of this. We've lost the values because we said we have to let these other people in. We have to you have the right to be a communist in America. That's what we said.
We have these people legally.
Who are communists who are in Congress. We have communist, Marxist communist people sitting in our House of Congress. Houses of Congress, and what do you expect them to do? They're not going to be supporting us because they don't believe in what we do.
Here legally.
So you can't have all the
legally.
Different cultures. You cannot mix cultures that way.
Yes.
What's up?
You can't do it. You can't do it. If you're here legally, yes, you have that right. You have that option to your freedom of speech. But when you have to put in place the first thing anybody should be saying about anything, like Mayorkas, this whole impeachment thing with him, if you knew where he worked at prior – I think it was 2008 to 2013, before he took his Division of Homeland Security situation, you would understand exactly what's going on because this guy was running the entire replacement and positioning of every illegal person coming to this country. To this country, he was in charge of that already. Yeah. So he's not doing something that's not known. This is a plan that these assholes have had.
It is.
But the worst part of it, the worst part of it is,
yeah,
when you have that going on like that, the illegal part
that
come across
the insanity
illegally.
Of Biden to try to blame Trump for what's happening at the border.
It
is all part of a plan. It goes back to, I believe it was Obama said, let 30 million people in here and we'll destroy the culture. And Obama isn't the one who started this garbage, the Agenda 21 and this other stuff. This started years and years ago. But now it's coming to fruition because people sat around and how many people have you heard over your lifetime? Oh, that could never happen in America. That one won't happen. That can't happen. But it is happening. It has happened. Right in front of us.
That is the propaganda.
We're getting down to
the
last few minutes. Go ahead.
That's the propaganda. Another minute. Because everything you hear is everybody hears the same thing. And if it's focal or centralized and mainstreamed by one group of people to have that agenda. And that's all the population gets to hear. That's what they're gonna. That's all they're gonna know. Just like in the schools, you teach them one thing. That's all they're gonna know. You can't know how to get the canned food.
We've allowed
get in the
government
can?
To take control of too much.
It's
very
that's
simple.
All,
we've allowed government. The church has backed off, and the churches have failed us. We've lost the core culture most. We don't ask people to assimilate when they come here. We say you can do whatever you want to do. You hate America, that's okay. Come to America and hate America and et cetera, et cetera. That's it. We are running out of time. I'll give you another minute there, Tate, and then we're going to kind of do a roundtable.
Okay.
And for those listening on the Internet, it's going to get cut in about 3.5 minutes. But if you're on the phone, you'll still hear us.
Sarge brought up something I think it was about a month ago or so. I thought that there was a number of 20,000 military people that were actually promoted to a position that they weren't yet qualified for, and that would put them in the position of leading, say, a platoon, a regiment, whatever, however you wanted to, what you want to call it, and they were not yet qualified, okay? I understand now from a friend of mine who is Marine Corps, JSOC, and this whole thing with this, if there's 20,000 people that have been bumped up to a position, they're ones that have taken the jab, they got the they've got their okay, the vote for the gay flag, the transgenderism. They're all on board with the woke movement. Therefore, they get a promotion. Are these people going to be the ones that are now that these cells that are these 18, these middle-aged men that are coming across our border, are these going to be the ones that lead these people in the city or in the states here? Because there's 800 FEMA camps that are up and are ready to turn the clock and start the timer. I heard that, and I about fell out of my chair, and I said, well, sanctuary cities, you got the government. Why can't everybody that knows that these guys have to be held accountable before anything happens for this country ever gets back going to the right direction? The ones that screwed it up and the people that are formidable and completely behind it, and that goes for the media, that goes for people on talk radio that condone this shit, and if it's okay to do that to these kids, they all must be held accountable, and I don't care if you do it from like I always say now, you'll have your day in Guantanamo Bay. That's I pray for that. Sun up, you sit in front of the judge, your peers. By sundown, you are either held accountable or found guilty, and you're put to death if that's what you're charged with, or whatever it is. But your process moves along fast. It's not 6 years, 10 years, 20 years. Hell, these guys coming across the border get $2,500 cash right to them, hard money. They get cell phones. They get their choice where they want to go.
Yeah.
And they don't have to go to court for 15 years, some of them, 10 years. That can't happen anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
We've got to shut it down. So good info. Thank you so much on that. Let's say we're kind of wrapping it up here. Joe, what's the update on your campaign and what's happening?
All right. Well, early voting starts on Thursday, early voting. So I got to start getting to work here tonight. That's it. I got my sleep last night, so I can go on a three-day binge here now just working. and get out there and interact with the people. I asked AI what I could do to win. So, actually gave me a lot of pointers, actually. So, I'll be working. So, Tave, get ready. We'll be working on some videos there. And I got to win, man. Anything less than a win is a failure for me, and I will be very, very upset if I lose. I'm putting everything into this. So, God bless our republic, man. Pray for me.
We need you in there, that's for sure.
Thank you, Len. Good luck. Good luck, especially with all the stuff you've dealt with. But we need you in there, not that other person. So, good luck. Okay, let's see. Boyd, are you still there?
Yeah, I got my mute button faster than Sarge gets his. I think he had a good show and put out a lot of good information. And we just need to start educating the people, you know, out there that somebody's spending their money and they're not spending it wisely, and it's definitely not being spent on them.
Amen to that. It's education. When Karen says it all the time, it's knowledge is power, and knowledge not shared is a waste. And unfortunately, public education has been one of the biggest failures of our culture that we've allowed to dumb down the people, which is all part of the big plan. So, okay, well, thank you. Appreciate that. And Sarge, what are your last words of wisdom as we wrap up?
Well, my last words of wisdom is I wish I had more wisdom to help figure out why they don't have any darn wisdom. That's what I wish I had the wisdom for. So all I can hope is to attain it, and whatever I attain, I'd like to share it, and I'm glad that all you folks here share yours with me. Makes me that much better.
Thank you so much, and I enjoy all the constitutional history and stuff that you bring to the discussion, because there's some very valid questions, just like we can't let them get rid of the Electoral College. We have to change the process. We can't accept the current corruption in fear of something worse, I guess. But at the same time, I don't want to say we got to keep the Electoral College. We need to educate people why the Electoral College is important for that the president and the vice presidential offices, because there's no direct that's the only way to keep it somewhat even across the board, across the states, and not let two or three states totally control your elections. So absolutely true. Okay, let's see. Cindy, are you still there? I mean, I see you there. I'm not sure if you're on mute or not. Anything last to say? All right, well, Cindy, if you decide you want to chime in at the last minute here, go feel free to do so. And Karen, let's see, I think I've got everybody else. Did I miss anybody? I don't think I missed anybody. I think I got everybody. Karen, any last words in reminding everybody, Florida, Floridians, you've got to get involved, make those phone calls. We have to stop this insanity of this 721 bill. That's only going to cause us more harm and destruction of the election process. And Karen, what else should we wrap it up with?
Well, tomorrow is supposed to be the vote on Mayorkas, to impeach or not impeach. And very interesting that I would like to share. Mayorkas is Jewish. His parents came from Cuba. He's a Cuban immigrant he is a Jewish immigrant from Cuba. And he belongs to and was on the board of HIAS, which is the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society. And the reason why he was not impeached is because the Jewish organizations called their legislators and told them if they wanted donations, don't impeach Mayorkas. And then they started yelling at them anti-Semitism. So it is not only the blacks that use racism, it is every ethnic group, and I am sorry to say the Jews happen to be doing that as well, and the reason why I'm sorry is because I'm Jewish, but I don't agree with anything that they are doing. But this is nothing new. This group, this organization, has been bringing immigrants to America
for years and years and years and years and years. And it is funded by many liberal Jewish donors. So, folks, you got to educate your families and tell them to stop donating to these people. It is never a good thing because they are trying to destroy our country. And unfortunately, just like the Catholic charities and the Lutheran whatever, they see money. And as long as they see money, they're going to continue to do it. We've got to stop the money train. It's always follow the money, isn't it? Thank you, Sally. It has been a great show, as always. And please, everyone,
well, thank you so much.
Just to say, please listen to The Prism of America's Education. We have a great show with Alex Newman, and that will be on Saturday and Sunday, and that is at 7 in the morning Eastern, and the new time is 5 in the afternoon Eastern, and that would be 4 Central. And it becomes a podcast on Wednesday, and you can go to KarenBeshone.com and find the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. Alex Newman's always a good conversation listening to him, so definitely tune in. And everybody, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, we weren't going to get to cover everything tonight, but we really wanted to focus on what was going on with this House bill, or the Bill 721 here in Florida, because it's so evil. It's just we've got to get rid of this evilness that's here. And you go down that list of what I have on that show page, there's many other things. These are all things we have to address. And we can't afford to be the useful idiots who just sit there looking and spinning our wheels and whatever. So people have to get engaged. And we're the ones on this show here. We have to educate the others. We, just like I was talking to that one individual. So it doesn't know. The last thing he thought about voting about was legalizing cannabis in Florida. So, I mean, I think that says a lot that as to where the mindset is and where their knowledge is of the other things going on. And we have to take back our country. We are at a point, and to think, stress again, do not depend on Republicans. Just because someone's a Republican, remember, it's the Grand Old Prostitute Party. It's forget them being the Grand Old Party. They're a bunch of prostitutes out there of when they want their money or whatever. Money and power are definitely the root of all evil, and it's taken over. We've allowed it to, so it's up to us to take it back. And with that being said, please be good to each other. Please get involved. Please pray. Say a prayer for America. I love my country, but I'm definitely afraid of this government. We should all be afraid, but we have to take control. We have to take it back. So please get engaged, and may God bless America, and we will talk again next week. Thank you, everyone.